Late 19th century literature exploded with feminist heroines, women who chafed under the constraints of conventional married life. Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, Flaubert's Madame Bovary, and Henrik Ibsen's Nora among them. In the 1879 play A Doll's House, Nora lives among all the trappings of happy married life and ends up rejecting them, becoming one of the theater's first feminist icons in the process. Stacey Ray is directing a University of Hawaii Department of Theater and Dance production of Ingmar Bergman's Nora, a variation of Ibsen's A Doll House at Kennedy Theater, and she's with us in our studio. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Why this play now? This is obviously a moment for women in America, in the world, but why this play?
Well, just as you say, it's a moment. Things are happening now. When the Western faculty gets together and discusses what we think would be poignant, relevant, what should we do for the coming seasons? When we chose this, we were in the middle of a presidential election. And that was filled with so much controversy, the subject of men and women and just back and forth. When we actually chose it, decided we would shift from A Dollhouse by Ibsen to Bergman's Nora, we were then post-election, and we were into the current presidency. Things that were happening at the time just seemed the right time. It felt exactly like the right time. Since then, the Me Too movement has emerged, making it even more relevant. So,
the Me Too movement looked at a situation that had been going on for a long time, and basically had been, if not accepted, at least lived with by all parties concerned. And in A Dollhouse, Nora accepts, through most of the play, is accepting the role of the wife and mother and a happy bourgeois. And then, but the very fact that she rejected it was revolutionary at the time.
It was. That hadn't happened before. It's called the door that the slam of the door that was heard around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
She said no, and as horribly difficult as that was for her, and Ibsen writes about that, the tearing of wife from household, standing up to society, and the ultimate mother leaving children.
Three kids, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. It was an epiphany. That she had no, that's what Ibsen wrote about, the epiphany. One has no choice when that's discovered except to move forward.
And move forward toward freedom. I mean, that was clear that's where
The
movement was. It wasn't it wasn't so much a rejection as a need to move toward the light.
Move toward the light, and the light without it being selfish and too egocentric, but she says, Ibsen has her saying, I need to learn. I need to know who I am. Out of love, I have accepted my father's ideas of what the world is and what I should think. Out of love, I have accepted what you have told me is the best way to go. And I realize that I don't know what I myself think. It's a very humbling, stunning reveal. And she says, in order to raise these children, I need to go out and figure out who I am, look at the world, and have my own thoughts and ideas. It was so revolutionary.
Well, the whole idea, this pretty revolutionary idea that people can be put in an unlivable situation by people who love them and have the best of intentions.
Yes. We've approached this, absolutely. You just spoke directly to our vision of this play. There are no good or bad people. There are no evil ones. There are no victims. We've approached the direction of this play that everyone is doing the best that they can within their given circumstances. And there aren't always good choices. Sometimes you have a bad choice and a worse choice. You have to do the best that you can for the overall vision.
Well, if in drama you create a character who is purely good or purely evil, you've sort of cheapened drama. You know, you've created melodrama. it's too easy.
Yes, yes.
And you don't meet people like that.
No, we don't. People are human beings. I mean, the classic one that is so easy to bring up is Hannibal Lecter.
Sure.
The wonderful character Hannibal Lecter. He's not, in his mind, evil. He's making the best choices he thinks are appropriate for himself and in society. And I think there's a section in there where he explains that he's actually honoring his victims by selecting to eat them and the way he cooks them. And
everyone thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yes, yes.
Even the most hideous people think
Thank
they're
you.
Doing.
Thank you for stopping me from going down the road of Chianti.
Well,
yes.
it's before lunch, you know. So. But there's that, to really do drama, to really do theater properly, you have to approach people in all their complexity, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you just said it. If you're doing it properly, the best, the most well-written plays, which, and there are so many nowadays, some of the new playwrights that are coming out, these are well, it isn't just that they're well-rounded. They're a sphere. They are inside, outside. They're human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's what we go to the theater for. Is not only for entertainment, but to identify, to recognize ourselves and say, yes, I feel that too, or gosh, I wondered about that. How did you handle it? It illustrates the human condition.
When we look at that sort of 19th century revolution in awareness in literature of women and their place in the world, we have to note with a degree of irony that Anna Karenina and Madame Bovary and Nora in A Dollhouse were all the creation of male writers.
Yes.
So we're kind of not there yet. And we're going back a century or two,
yes.
a century to mm-hmm. to sort of meet that, find that moment when awareness dawned in the theater.
That's true. I sort of don't know how to address that, except that it was, that was the time when those gentlemen were writing. Hats off to them.
Well, it doesn't take any away from great works of literature. It's just sort of a
yes.
an ironic little footnote almost.
It is, but since then we have such profound female writers. What's coming to mind, because it's in the time period of Bergman, is Joan Didion.
Yeah.
When she was writing, that was, you know, we all, the 60s, again, thinking of the Bergman and this Nora, you had Camille Paglia writing. And, mm-hmm. you know, women have been able to come forward more now, but it's still the way it was.
we can look for, you know, there's more decades to come, right?
Well, yes. I personally feel we're in such a dynamic time. I mean, that's not any unique perspective, but I think it's a confusing time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going for men and for women, for both.
This is when literature takes its place, you know, and takes on its importance. And you picked the right time to do this play, didn't you?
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you agree.
Thank you so much, Stacy. Stacy Ray is the director of Ingmar Bergman's Nora, a version of Henrik Ibsen's A Dollhouse. The play runs in the Kennedy Theater's main stage the next two weekends, and you can get details on our Facebook page. And that's it for the conversation for today. Now we're going back to Pledge Central with Bill Dorman.